Welcome to the Specify Growth Podcast. I'm your host, Tats Nakagawa of Castagra Products. Each week, I talk to leaders and experts about how to overcome adversity, grow massive organizations, and how to create meaningful change in the building materials and construction industry. Today's guest is Ben Roberts. He's the co-founder and president at Pearl MF. So Ben, thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah, happy to be here. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, when you connected, I was excited because the three things that really get me excited are marketing, sustainability for our company, and entrepreneurship. So you got your foot in all three in some way.
So. Just a little bit of each. I don't want to be an expert in any of them. I'll just be a jack of all trades for the three.
But I mean, with your background, your path kind of started on the marketing side, correct?
Yeah. So I started as just a marketing specialist in the building materials industry at a specialty lumber yard, just a local lumber yard here in Austin, Texas. And marketing specialist is just code for you do everything that a marketer does and a marketing department does. So you just got to figure out how to do it yourself. I learned a lot in going that route. And when I started, I knew nothing about decking, nothing about outdoor living. And, you know, I couldn't tell you the difference between a piece of cedar or a piece of composite or anything, and just had to learn from the start, but always had a passion about trying to figure out what are ways that we can look at marketing and sustainability and what we're doing in marketing in a different way. And so that's how I kind of started in the industry, is marketing for local guys, a lot of different products, and realized really quickly that you can only do so much with photos of products that are sitting in a lumberyard. And so if all I could do was use photos from the warehouse, then all I could really post or all I could really share and all I could really provide for other people is a bunch of stacks of lumber. So, you know, I knew, okay, we got to go out and get pictures. So I had to figure out how to take pictures. And then, you know, video became a more and more important piece of a tool, a more important tool for marketers to have. And so, you know, I was like, okay, well, we need this video equipment. And so I had to figure out how to do video. And now I'm fortunate enough that I have a lot more talented people that can do all of those things. And I don't have to worry about it or think about it anymore. But I think that it's been, yeah, really interesting the past 10 years to see not only, you know, how the building industry has approached marketing and how it's starting to slowly realize how important marketing is for their businesses. And they're starting to realize really that they can't ignore social media. They can't ignore video marketing. And it's been cool to see too, the different products that have come up in the past 10 years too. And yeah, and how they're in the same way, really not only just exploring sustainability, but embracing sustainability and proactively trying to create a more sustainable product.
Yeah. I mean, walk me through it, because I've never marketed, you know, lumber or timber before. What are your memorable campaigns or what did you do as you were figuring this out to get the word out?
Yeah. When I started, you know, the first thing that I had started to really get passionate about, I had learned about inbound marketing and I was like, this is the thing. This was, you know, 10 years ago or so. I was like, this is the thing that we got to do. We got to take, you know, we got to take the content that we have out there. We got to fashion it for keywords and do all of this SEO. And so I found the most popular blog on our current website. And I was like, I'm just going to rewrite this and then put a call to action. And just in doing that, it doubled the leads that they were bringing in just from simple things like that. And I was like, you know what? We need a free ebook. And so I came up with this idea of 6 deck patterns that save you money, because the idea with hardwoods is that they sell different prices at different lengths. So a shorter length is cheaper because it's less desirable. So I came up with an ebook that showed people that they could use shorter lengths by creating a herringbone pattern or different picture frame patterns with their deck. And it caught on. And they, to this day, 10 years later, are still using that as a lead generator for the company. I was just there a little bit ago and I was like, you guys are still using the stuff that I made 10 years ago, and it's still successful for them. So that's always exciting to see. You know, fast forward about 4 or 5 years later, right before I took a job at a product and at that lumber yard, I knew that video was becoming more and more important. So we hired a videographer for there and decided that, you know, I can, you know, create just simple content, something simple that we can do here. And I had called it Timber Tips because the name of the company was Timber Town. So I would write a little script, one page script, stand in front of the camera, you know, read one line at a time over and over again. And then we'd splice it together and have these short 30-second, maybe 2-minute long videos, just explaining different things, the differences between two different types of wood. Sometimes we would share, you know, educational information or trends in the industry and try to have one a week, just something consistent going out. And those videos still exist on YouTube today. That was kind of how I got my start and how I was discovered by the company that I'd work at after that, which is a company called Kebony, and they're a European modified wood product. And so they saw those Timber Tips. And after that, I became the US marketing director. And from there, tried to do everything I could to bring video into sort of the next level. Yeah, after the Timber Tips, I was like, what can we do that's going to be even bigger and even better than that? And so we immediately brought on, you know, some really talented just video directors, media directors, and decided that we were going to come up with our own show. Like, we were going to do something that was completely different, something that was not geared towards being salesy, not geared towards selling a product, but geared towards really providing something of value to our audience. Because I feel like something that can be missing, it's in a lot of industries, and you've been in the tech industry, you know, that's becoming a bigger and bigger thing where people are creating their own content. And essentially, every company is trying to become a content creator. They want to be their own Netflix, their own Amazon Prime. They want to create value for any customers that are coming their way. And so, you know, we came up with our own idea and have been producing those as sort of this documentary style series all about architecture called Design Versus Build. And that's been incredible to see not only the reaction, but how we were able to use it in marketing. I think it's been really cool.
Yeah, for sure. I'm just curious. One of the things I've always noticed is, you know, and maybe it's different with different manufacturers, but a lot of manufacturers occupy a fairly larger footprint in terms of the people they deal with and the projects that are happening. And, you know, even if you have a video crew, you can't send them everywhere. So collecting field content can sometimes be a challenge. Did you have that problem? And if you did, then how did you solve for it?
Yeah, it's very true. And the hardest thing for a manufacturer and a building products space is getting to the end consumer and getting the project. And a lot of times they're going through a distributor, they're going through a retailer, and then those people are then getting to the contractor or the homeowner. So you have multiple steps in between, and it's really hard for you to ever know how your product's ever being used. So the first challenge was figuring out, how do you get in front of those people? And how do you even figure out what projects are out there? And then how do you figure out if those projects are worth using in marketing? That way you can sort of narrow down the field as you go. And so we were very strategic. And what we were able to do with the show is dangle the carrot, I guess, in front of an architect or a builder, because the last thing you want to do as a marketer, even though you need the footage, right? You need the pictures, you need the video of your product out there in the world. You need that inspirational content, but you don't want to go to an architect and builder and say, hey, can I go on your site, you know, interrupt your workers, or, you know, get in the middle of your space, and then can I get photos and videos that I can use for myself to promote myself? And so what we were able to do with this Design Versus Build series is, instead of us approaching them and saying, hey, this is what we need from you, we turn it around and say, hey, this is what we want to provide for you. And it was a whole totally different conversation when you're saying, hey, we have a 30-minute long award-winning documentary series that we produce as a company, and we want you to be one of the projects on it. We want to interview you, not to talk about our product. I mean, we'll talk about it for a little bit, but really we want to talk about you, your company, your projects, what you're doing out in the field. How did you turn this vision into a reality? What were the challenges that you experienced in this? And what are you most proud of about this project? And we would spend an entire week. I mean, it really was an investment. And so we said, okay, we're not going to worry about quantity. We're not going to go out to a whole lot of projects. And to your point, we're going to go and focus on quality, and we're going to get as much information as we possibly can from one project. And so we would go there for an entire week. And at first, when we started, it was a very small crew. We'd have everybody holding lights, holding mics. There was three of us, and you know, one of us was interviewing. So we did everything we could to maximize our efficiency. And then as we grew and as it became more popular, we were able to grow the team a little bit as we went. And now we're going into our third season and continue to do the show as well and look out for projects of all shapes and sizes, residential, commercial, whatever. But it was, you know, in doing that, when it was a realization for the architects and the builders that, oh, they're coming to provide us value. We're not here to give them value. It was a very different conversation, and we never got turned down. So no one ever said, no, we don't want you to feature us. No, we don't want you to come and interview us and talk about how great we are. In doing that, I sort of call it the gold mine of content for us, because again, what we wanted was we wanted to go in and gather as much content as we can, and then we sift through it all and find those golden nuggets. And the golden nuggets are perfect for us in our marketing, because we're getting sound bites, we're getting information about the project, we're getting information from the architects about how they feel about the products that we never would have gotten otherwise. And again, it would be really hard. We've interviewed, you know, world-renowned architects. And if we came there just saying, hey, we want to come here and talk to you about this product and how great it is, we just want you to tell us how wonderful we are, we never get in the door. But when we come there and say, hey, we want to interview you about your philosophy, about who you are, and because they know you're there representing that product, they talk about it anyways. You don't have to ask them. And I think that has been incredible. And so we've done that. Now, 10 episodes later, we have content that we can use for years and years and years, not only about architecture and design, but about the specific products that were involved in those projects. And so that's I think, been really eye-opening, something that we didn't really go into it with that intention or that realization. And now we realize, like, wow, this was not only is it a great show. I mean, we're really proud of it. It's something that we strive to always make better and better, but it also is something that's a great marketing tool. It's something that actually is just as useful in gathering leads and hitting a target audience as it is being something that's worth watching.
Yeah. So question that comes to my mind, obviously you did in steps, and it helps the fact that you had a video you kind of had a bit of everything, kind of a full stack background, although maybe not, you said jack of all trades and not an expert.
Yeah. But
I mean, give me a ballpark idea of hacking it together so that you have kind of a very lightweight crew, what budgetary that looks like and what rough range you're at now. I'm just trying to understand, you know, the back end of the production value stuff that you put into.
So usually when I think about it, a lot of it is human capital. You know, our gear has grown, obviously. I mean, when we started, we probably had $10,000 to $12,000 in gear. And then we were renting some stuff to go along with it. Again, you're looking at like a 2 to 3 person team. So it's not a big team. And so that means that you're working a lot harder and everything takes a little bit longer. And so I feel like from the beginning, and James Bernison, who's our media director, is just phenomenal. He's a phenomenal cinematographer. And so if you go to the very first episode and then look at what we're doing now, like, you will see that there's a progression of quality, because a camera's got better, you know, lenses got better, things like that. But a lot of it is in the talent of understanding lighting, understanding, you know, the positioning, all of those pieces. I mean, if you could be in this room right now, we wanted this to look pretty nice, and I'll send you some photos of what this room is. But to have the background that I have behind me, I'm surrounded by lights and cameras and everything else. It's amazing what goes into making something look better. And our philosophy has always been, you know, when you release a video and when we release something into the world, nobody's going to know what you weren't able to accomplish or what you wish you would have done or anything else. All they're going to know is what you're putting out. And so, you know, you can take a little bit more time to, you know, make sure everything's out of the background, or do a take again because there was, you know, distortion in the audio, or a plane flying overhead. Like no one's going to know that you wish you would have done that. They're only going to know what you did and what you provided. And so we have always had a standard of excellence. Now, the amount that we've been able to do and the ability for us to gather more has just increased along the way. So where we started at $10,000 to $12,000 in gear, you know, now is probably closer to $100 worth of gear that we could be bringing, where we had 2 to 3, you know, people coming has increased to 6 people that are on a crew. And some are just dedicated to photography. Some are just dedicated to getting B-roll. Some are just dedicated to getting interviews. So yeah, it just allows us to do it, not necessarily at a higher caliber, but quicker and get more as we do it.
Okay, very cool. So we talked briefly about sustainability earlier. It's kind of been sort of a theme with the companies and the projects you've done. Why is it important to you?
The sustainability aspect is something that, honestly, before I started working at a company that really had it at the forefront, and the company that we were involved in right before we started our own firm, its name's Kebany, and we did all of their US marketing. And I never, you know, I was involved, honestly, in the hardwoods market, a lot of importing of Brazilian hardwoods. And that was the company that I came from. That's what they did. They were a hardwood importer. And again, everybody has a little bit of a sustainability story that they want to be able to tell. And I felt like Kebany truly had it as their mantra. And that was very inspiring to me. That made me feel like, okay, this is not something that is always just lip service. In a day and age where marketing can feel like it's a whole lot of lip service, what I wanted to be able to do is have some authenticity to it. And so when we talked about sustainability through their eyes, it felt like it was something that was authentic. It was something that was real. It wasn't something that we were trying to market it or spin it or make it sound like it was better than it was. And now that we've started our own firm, it feels like that's the type of thing that we want to have. We want to have an authenticity. I don't want to have to spin something or over-explain something or make something sound better than it really is. I'd rather work with companies that have something that's truly amazing and help them, you know, communicate why it's so amazing into the world.
Yeah. So step one, have a authentic interest, action, you know, a company around sustainability. What's the number two part? Because there is a lot of noise around sustainability right now. How do you deliver that message or story to the market? How do you stand out?
Yeah. What I've found with telling the sustainability story, it's kind of like electric vehicles today. Like there are some people that are early adopters. They've had a Tesla for 10 years. There are some people that just now are wanting to be a part of the movement. And then there's going to be people that, as the culture shifts, they're going to join on. And I feel like in sustainability and building materials, 5-10 years ago, it was early adopters. There was not a whole lot of architects and builders that we're talking and saying, we want to make this a very important part of what we're doing. Now I feel like we're in sort of that culture shift change. And so I talk to a lot of architects, a lot of builders, because of what we do. I've probably interviewed almost 100 different architects and builders, and the builders on their side are a little bit more reluctant. They're risk averse. They want to make sure that a product is proven more than they want to make sure that a product is green. And the architects, though, are a huge driver in the sustainability movement. They're asking for it. And so because of the culture shift and the desire, it's pushing building products to have a more intentional stance, I think, in sustainability. And so, you know, I think as we tell the sustainability story, what you got to understand is that you're not there to convince everybody that they need to be sustainable. There's going to be some people that, no matter what, are going to drive a dually diesel massive truck. There's nothing you can do about it. I'm in Texas. I know this for a fact. Like it doesn't matter how, you know, bad or good you say something is. There's some people that are not going to adopt something new or change their ways. But what you do want to do is you want to seek out who are the people that One are the early adopters, who are the people that are already on fire for sustainability. And we want to find those people and help them understand the product that we have. And then the second part of it is you want to find those people that are dipping their toe in the water and help them understand and educate them. And I think that's where a company can bring a lot of value for somebody is saying, okay, you know, like you're interested in sustainability. We're going to educate you on sustainability. And then we're going to educate you on why, you know, this product that we're selling is sustainably minded, is sustainably used, is can be a sustainable alternative to what you've been using. And so I think they got to go hand in hand. And when we try to be everything to everybody, or when we try to convince people that they need to go a route that maybe they're not ready for, I feel like that's where a lot of frustrations tend to happen in the marketing world.
Yeah, makes sense. You started your own firm, you know, which involves entrepreneurship, risk, learning. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely say that I'm a reluctant entrepreneur. I didn't have a 5-year plan of starting my own firm, and it was sort of an opportunity that presented itself, and it felt like this was probably the right time to do it. And so we had a lot of talks with our employer and kind of, you know, we're presenting this idea as a possibility. And they're a European company. They don't have a US entity. And it felt like as we were moving forward, it may make sense for us to go this route. And so we had a lot of talks back and forth about it. And it felt like it was the right thing for us to do and really start to blaze our own trail. But in doing that, it's a very different being a marketing director or running a marketing department inside of a company than it is to have an agency and a company that you're now in charge of. And that's, I think, been the biggest thing for me is that the mindset shift. And I have a budget and I'm here to manage a budget and spend this budget. And oh, now I have to try to get that budget from somebody else and capture it for us. You know, so that's been definitely a learning experience for us. You know, we're only 4 months in to being our own firm.
Okay. Very cool. Is there anything I did not ask you, but you wanted to share?
You know, I think for us, I think the one thing that I would mention is, and I know that you talk to a lot of entrepreneurs and people that maybe are thinking about becoming an entrepreneur. And I guess the thing that I would say is just have that understanding of, you know, you're in a job right now, and a job is very different than having your own business. You know, we went from having, you know, an HR to now needing an HR. We went to having paychecks come in the mail to now we got to figure out, okay, how do paychecks come for us and everybody else? And so be willing and ready that you're going to take on all of the things that right now you may be taking for granted. You know, when you have a budget, you can just ask for as much as you want and hope to get it. When you have to manage and find a budget, it shifts you from, you know, that marketing side to a sales side. And so it's not always easy for marketers to become salespeople. So that's a learning experience too. You got to, I think, really take in all the different factors that are involved in it and be willing to take the leap if you're ready.
Yeah, for sure. It's accelerated personal development.
Yeah, it definitely is. Yeah. It's trial by fire, I would say.
Well, Ben, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Tats. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the Specify Growth podcast today. Make sure you check out youtube.com/TatsTalks for video of today's podcast. Hit the subscribe button for upcoming episodes.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.